Thank you, Paul, and good morning, everyone. So my name's Pat Gaffney. I think I might have seen some of you this time last year on the retreat. I'm a volunteer with the chaplaincy. I volunteer under Paul's guidance in the senior project, and I've been a volunteer since 2019. And later on in this, Paul's going to help with the technology because my computer tells me I have low bandwidth. Now, I think that's I need to apply that to my brain. I've got low brain width at the moment, so Paul will help with some images a little bit later on. So today we continue this Lenten journey, and I think it's interesting that although those of us offering the reflections don't consult before, we don't get together to plan these, there's a real kind of natural flow and common thread that runs through these, which to me indicates a kind of rightness of what we're about, that what's being offered hangs together very well. And for me, the idea of a faith journey, really, it's something that really resonates with me. The idea of following a way, of seeking something. Perhaps we're not unsure about what we're seeking, but we go on a journey in the belief that something will be revealed, something special, something new. And we go on a journey in the sense that the journey itself, in its own right, has some value to us. And the idea of a journey and following also gives me hope that there's no one point of arrival, that there may be many places and many stops on the way. And that gives me a sense of space for the doubts that I might have and for my own insecurity in my faith journey. The Lenten season, though, I think is very distinct when we get another opportunity to reflect not just on our own lives, but on our relationships with others and with the wider world around us. We're given yet again, I think we're all always given opportunities in our faith life to take up Jesus's invitation to follow me. And remembering that he said this, the way he walked was walking towards the marginalized, was walking towards those who live on the edges. He wasn't walking towards mansions or banks or temples or palaces. He was walking a path of justice, a path of compassion, a path of non-violence, ultimately a path that took him to his death, that great act that he gave us of self-giving love. So I want to reflect on three journeys this morning, and how they might help us just think about our own journey in these months. And if I can have the first image, Paul, that would be great.
Let me pass, just bear with me. Look.
Thanks. So this is the image I chose when I put that flyer together for this program, a path, a set of steps. And I took this while visiting friends who live on a tiny island up in the Scottish Highlands. It doesn't go far, but it's very inviting. It's an enticing pathway, and especially in a time like this, the springtime. The image conveys peace and tranquility. The start of a calm and a quiet journey, perhaps. Speaking personally, I need places like this to help me make my inner journey of reflection. I'm not that good on prayer and meditation. They're not always easy for me, but I find that when I'm walking, well, that's another story altogether. On walks, I seem to be able to get clear in my head. I get away from the computer. I get away from all the news, whether it's good or bad news, and I'm not going to be disturbed. Nothing very profound goes on in my head on these walks. Perhaps I go over conversations that I've had with people and friends around me. I might carry with me some of the concerns for those I'm close to. And very often, The words and tunes of hymns and songs pop into my head and give me some insights. But also sometimes these walks are an opportunity to wrangle with the temptations and questions I have, just as Jesus did during his time in the desert, and we read that last Sunday at Mass. Working through choices that I have to make. Am I drawn on a false path, which might be appealing and full of glamour and full of kudos and much easier? Or am I making choices on this path that will favour those on the margins, that might make more serious, deeper demands of me in my life? So for me, the space created by walking, going into silent places, even in the middle of a busy city, I can be silent in my head, give me the opportunity to have some time for my inner self. And that's a part of a Lenten journey, finding space for our inner self. But that's a journey that's chosen, and not all journeys are chosen freely. And if I can have the next image, Paul. Working in Rome last October, I encountered this amazing piece of art in St. Peter's Square that was unveiled in 2019 and dedicated to the world's migrants and refugees. It's called The Angel's Unaware Boat by a Canadian artist, Timothy Schmaltz. Some of you may have seen a piece of his work in churches in this country called The Homeless Jesus Christ. This sculpture depicts 140 migrants, ranging from a Jewish man escaping Nazi Germany to a Syrian refugee fleeing civil war, and a boy fleeing the Irish famine in the 1840s. Speaking of the work, Timothy said he wanted to show the different moods and emotions involved in a migrant journey. Just take a moment to look at the faces, the hands, the bundles. Perhaps you're from a family who came to this country as immigrants. I know that I am. And many of those with whom we work in the chaplaincy are economic immigrants from the 1950s and 60s. Just take a look at those faces for a moment. Whether it's a personal experience of such a journey or one that we share, we can have an empathy with and accompany those who seek safety and security from poverty or from war or from abuse of some kind. We join them too in hope and in an openness to change, to fulfill dreams and aspirations. And this too is where we can follow Jesus and our sisters and our brothers. Every month, I take part in a vigil outside the Home Office. It's for refugees and migrants. Part of our prayer there is to read out the names of those who tragically died either in the Channel or in the Mediterranean, or on Eurostar, trying to find a safe passage. In some little symbolic way, we enter their journey. It's always profoundly moving and an act of justice to call each person, even in death, by their name. And yesterday, listening to Debbie, she invited us all to pray for Pope Francis during his time of illness and vulnerability. There is a spirituality in the journey of illness and the accompaniment of those who are sick and experience isolation. Pope Francis is reflecting this in these days. Through what must be frustrating and perhaps painful days, he still tries to look outwards and beyond himself. He recognizes his frailty and asks for prayers and support. He is able to acknowledge his need of others. And I love this next image of Pope Francis. Taken a few years ago, at a time when he was offering reflections on the role of being a shepherd, a leader in the church. He suggested that the true shepherd will smell like her or his sheep. This implies to me, anyway, a sense of closeness, not being afraid to get stuck in, not being afraid to get messed up. And here is another way in which we're being reminded of how we too can follow Jesus and learn what it is to serve and accompany. Even from his hospital bed, we know that Francis keeps working, and he prepared a text for last Sunday for the Angelus, which was read out in St. Peter's Square. And in it, he speaks to all of us about how we can be involved in accompaniment and chaplaincy and volunteering. And I thought it was worth sharing this morning. In our society, he says, too enslaved by market logic, where everything risks being subject to the criterion of interest or a quest for profit, volunteering is prophecy and a sign of hope, because it bears witness to the primacy of solidarity and service to those most in need. I express my gratitude to those who are engaged in this field. Thank you, he said, for offering your time and abilities. Thank you, he said, for your closeness and tenderness with which you care for others, reawakening hope in them. Brothers and sisters, he continued, during my prolonged hospitalization here, I too experienced the thoughtfulness of service, the tenderness of care, in particular from the doctors and the health workers, whom I thank from the bottom of my heart. And while I'm here, I think of the many people in various ways who are sick, who are a sign for the Lord's presence. We need this. We need this miracle of tenderness, which accompanies those who are in adversity, bringing a little light into the night of pain. I love that phrase, the miracle of tenderness. What might help us in Lent and in our longer journey, create this miracle of tenderness. I came across another message from Pope Francis from a couple of years ago, a Lenten message. And in that message, he was urging us to think of the traditions of Lent and fasting in particular in a different way. I think in a way that may helpfully guide us through our Lenten journey. These are some of his paraphrased thoughts, and I think they capture something of the spirituality and the practice that we're seeking out in our Lenten journey, helping us to follow Jesus. Let's look at the first set of them and take time to look at them and absorb what they might say to you in your Lenten journey, how you might pray them in your Lenten journey. Thank you, Paul.
Sure. So is that working? Just try, bear with me. I'll try that again.
So how might we fast from sadness and be filled with gratitude? Might we fast from anger and be filled with patience? Might we fast from pessimism and be filled with hope? Might we fast from worries and learn to have trust in God? In the next set, Paul. Can we fast from bitterness and allow our hearts to be filled with joy? Can we learn to fast from selfishness and be compassionate to others? How can we let go and fast from grudges and allow ourselves to be reconciled? Can we fast from words and be silent and listen? We'll finish this reflection listening to some words from Taizé in the chant, "The Kingdom of God is justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, and open in us the gates of your kingdom." Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Pat.
Joy in the Holy Spirit. Thank you.